You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.
And today is actually a very special episode. And you know, I know that The Polished Woman is all about like, oh, women, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, everyone is welcome in The Polished Woman because what I always, you know, what I always share to you guys is to love one another, to give love. Every time I end the show, it's always give love to the next person. So I want everyone to be welcome in my show. And today, in our show, not in my show, in our show, today I had an encounter with this amazing, amazing person. And he was actually one of the few people that started with COVID. I invited him here because I want him to share the experience he had and all this, what do you call that? It's this experiment, right, Aaron? This experiment that they did to him and what he learned from it, what happened, and the whole acceptance of him, you know, of himself in the world, that, you know, being out of the country and then people are saying that you started this, you know, that whole thing that he felt after that. But then again, here he is. He's an amazing person. He's out there doing his, you know, doing his purpose and just amazing. So I want you to hear his testimony. But I know that we live in a world wherein you feel like everyone, after COVID, did you notice that? Like, you feel like everyone is watching you, or there's always someone watching over you, because people are like, wait, do you have COVID? Are you sure you don't have COVID? Especially if you don't have the mask or something, and this is what our guests experience. And we feel like we can never fully belong to it. We all try to fit in, right? Even if, you know, even if sometimes we're like, okay, do I really, you know, belong to this group of people, or do I belong to this, you know, community or this country? When I moved here, that's how I felt, you know? And our guest for today also is, you know, he's like me. He's from Asia. And when I moved here, I was like, shoot, do you think I belong here? Like, how can I fit in, you know, being English is my second language and being not from here? And so I want him to share all of this experience that he had. Hello, ladies and gentlemen and everyone. Please welcome Andrew Chen. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, babe. How are you? So good to see you. How's everything?
He's so sassy, right? Oh, my God.
I'm so happy to see you. This is beautiful.
I know. Thank you for coming. Thank are you me. Fresh from where? By the way, Andrew here is an influencer for...
Yes,
can you tell them about you?
I have a lifestyle and luxury travel platform called My Inspire Project. So I've been flying around, but we met in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
Here in the winter. So it's good that we catch each other and we just become, you know, we're just having so much fun.
I know. And I'm looking forward to, you know, doing more memories with you. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Today is such a day. And then thanks so much for having us.
I know. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Now, the camera is all yours. Tell us about your story. Tell us what happened. You are the number, whatever, top 100, right? Top 100 that actually got COVID. First 100. First 100. First 100 that actually...
We don't want to be the top 100.
No, that's actually where. That's in Wuhan, right? No, that's in Wuhan.
No, actually, Billboard, yes.
Yeah, so the first 100 that actually had COVID. I know that COVID is almost done. Thank you, God, for this, that, you know, finally we're at the end of it, the tail of it. And I just want to hear this whole story because I have not really encountered, except you, that actually had COVID during the first hundreds of them. And you were like an experiment.
Yes, it was a very interesting phase in my life.
Yeah.
Tell
us about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go through a little bit of the story. It's a long story. It could be a movie.
Yeah, I know. I actually told you you should make a movie off of it.
Yeah, that's a very good idea, actually.
Yeah.
If anyone
interested, please. I know. Please contact.
Okay, we're working on the script already. But actually, for in 2020, and then it went to Taiwan, mm-hmm. and the whole Asia kind of like just got affected.
Yeah.
So I went to Italy, and Italy got a national lockdown, so I flew to Paris for Fashion Week. And that was March, end of February, early March of 2020. And then I was heading to London after and then back to New York, because mm-hmm. I live in New York mm-hmm. still back then. But then, you know, suddenly everything shut down. And then I contracted COVID when I was in Paris. At the end of the Fashion Week, we mm-hmm. had a group dinner of 12 people. Like, usually at the end of the Fashion Week, everyone has a dinner, like farewell dinner.
Yeah.
Over the world joined for Fashion Week. It's such an event and such a good business gallery.
Yeah.
And good networking as well. So I was there for work. And then we were just having this great dinner. And back then, people were still very relaxed. Although Italy was already locked down. And
yeah.
from there, I was kind of nervous.
Yeah.
It was, you know, Paris, no one was wearing masks. So I wasn't, you know, when I was wearing masks, people said, maybe you should take it off because you can become a target, especially, you know, being as Asian. And back then, people are kind of more sensitive.
Yeah.
So I went to dinner, it was a good time with friends. And then, but we didn't know that it was, you know, like some friends were just came from a ski resort mm-hmm. back then, and they had a huge outbreak. They didn't know either. So uh-huh. after dinner, 10 out of 12 people got COVID. And then just, it doesn't
the happen. Same dinner that you,
same
yeah.
dinner, okay. And it doesn't happen all at once, but one person, one of the girls got sick first, and mm-hmm. then suddenly we started this group chat. We said, hey, is anyone feels weird? And then everyone started feeling sick. So,
yeah.
And then, long story short, the France was also announced, Macron announced national lockdown for France. So I took the last flight out of Paris. It's kind of like almost.
But it was hard. It was hard.
It was hard.
It was hard. Yeah.
I've been through 7 flights. I told you to book to get out of the place. Otherwise, I was in a hotel. They don't even know what to do. I was in a hotel. I said, "What if I got stranded here mm-hmm. in France? What are you guys do? You guys gonna close or I'm gonna stay?" They had no idea. They
yeah.
had no idea how long the lockdown would be. So I was lucky enough, thank God, mm-hmm. to get the last flight out back to Asia, back to Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
And so back then, Taiwan's already closed the border, mm-hmm. so I could get it because, you know, obviously I'm a citizen there, and then they asked me if I had any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a cough back then, but I didn't have any other, like, I didn't have a fever.
Yeah.
It's kind of very light, very mild.
And back then, they don't have testing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the problem is, like, I was sick for about a week or mm-hmm. more than a week in Paris, but there's mm-hmm. no way we can get tested because it's such a... They wasn't prepared for it. So mm-hmm. there was no testing available in Paris. And then the hospital were not, you know, was closed mm-hmm. for only severe cases and were not allowed to visit. We had to call it back yeah. in France. Because that's the scenario, we had to call a special number and then we get diagnosed over the phone. The doctor literally told us to cough over the phone.
My gosh, can you imagine? Like, they will find out.
Yeah, and then they said...
Okay. From the phone.
Yeah, and then I was like, how do you know the COVID cough sounds like?
Yeah.
You know, like, we're so early. But anyway, so they told us, oh, it doesn't sound like a COVID. It just sounds like just a regular flu. So uh-huh. we got all the flu medicine, but no one was feeling better. And I realized I lost a sense of taste and smell when I was shopping and eating in Paris because I was prepared leaving and then I went to the boutique, like a candle store.
Yeah.
I tried to buy souvenir. Everything smelled
nothing. Yeah.
Terrible. And then I went to the restaurant and sent everything back because the food just not right.
Yeah.
I'm being a New Yorker, you just send it back. Not
yeah.
So at the end, and then when I tried with the mustard, which is I always do, I realized something was wrong.
Oh.
I didn't taste the mustard at all, and my friend didn't taste it either.
Oh,
so we asked for, like, s'il plaît, a bottle of Tabasco.
Yeah.
We throw everything out of the fries, and we try it. It didn't taste anything. Wow, this is so strange. So when I got back to Taiwan, uh-huh. I tested and told them I also lost the sense of taste mm-hmm. and smell. But they were like, what's this? They didn't have that in
yeah.
Asia. So this is coming from Euro strain.
Uh-huh.
So they said that that's not part of their protocol
yeah.
to have that symptom. And then I was sent back home for isolation for 24 hours. I uh-huh. couldn't go anywhere. The police was waiting outside until I get a call for the PCR test result. And then they told me, well, you got bad news. You are positive. And I was diagnosed positive with COVID.
Yeah.
and they take me to the hospital. I'm going, so they can pick me up. I was kind of freaking out.
Yeah, that is like a scary thing, yeah. Especially if you're like one of the first ones. Yeah.
I was very scared, but also relieved because before I got back home, well, my parents was eager to see me because I travel a lot for my work, and I haven't seen them for almost a year. And then, of course, they want to be home welcoming. But then I was like, hey, I have a little bit of symptoms. It could be a cold. It could be also COVID. And it's better you guys wait for me. We have the countryside home. So they went to the countryside right before I arrived. I said, wait until I'm clear, and then they can... and then maybe we can figure out how to see each other.
Yeah.
And thank God they left because I was diagnosed positive with COVID, right? And
wow.
I didn't get to them. So I was happy that I didn't spread to anyone after I got home. And I was in the hospital for, you know, concentrated on the treatment. And that was it. I was scared, but I was kind of relieved. And I know, like, because we have a very good healthcare system in Taiwan, so the people, they were really taking care of me. So that was kind of the story of the journey.
And they gave you, since you were one of the first ones, they gave you, they experimented with you, they gave you a couple of, like, stuff to take.
And
you were like in front of the camera, like even if you're like in the room, it's crazy.
It was so early, so I was the number 88.
I love this number, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I suppose it's a lucky number, Asia. But you know, like it's so early that they had no idea, they had no studies, not enough studies about the virus. So they just locked you in. I was placed in a very special. It's called the negative pressure room. So it's a separate unit from all hospitals.
Okay.
I have own ventilation. I have a double door that's locked and everything is separated. The food comes from a little small window. I have a double door and it vacuum the air. And it's like a sci-fi movie. I was like,
what?
That was the early sweet day.
You're in an asylum or something? It's like that.
I know.
Right?
I was not prepared for it at all. And then there was no Wi-Fi. And I just landed from Europe. So I wasn't even prepared.
And you didn't even have like clothes and nothing, right?
I never stay in the hospital, thank God. So it was my first time. So I thought hospital would provide a lot of things like towels and robes.
Yeah.
This is what you just see from the TVs and movies. But apparently that was not the case because the virus was very contagious. They don't provide anything because everything has to be destroyed and burned.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to bring my own thing, so I had nothing. So I had to order online, like an Uber Eats and everything deliver to the hospital and then, you know, dispatch it to me. So that was kind of like interesting. And also the Wi-Fi, I had to bring my own devices. So I have those devices by my bed. So in the room, it was very interesting. So like you said, it's double door. There's no outside contact. And there's a camera on top of the bed and the one on the side. Because it's intensive urgent. And there's a button by the bed. So
oh my God.
And I remember, like you said, they give me many different treatments. And one of the most notable ones was the hydrochloroquine.
Yeah.
Yes, that very special one that everyone was talking about. That's why I was put on that medication. But the side effect is really strong. So it wasn't for me at all because I remember my heart was beating very strong and irregularly.
Yeah.
I couldn't fall asleep the first two nights. And I wanted to have to press the emergency button.
No.
I wasn't feeling good. It feels worse than COVID itself. So after that, you know, like we stopped that, we tried other things. Also, we tried like herbal treatment, like Chinese medicine, that helps you build your immune system, especially your lung. So it gets better. So among the 33 days, I was lucky just...
I was wondering, why is it 33 days? Because for now, it's like only week.
How long it will stay in your body and how long you stay contagious. So after 2 weeks, my symptoms was gone. They start doing the test on me. Even though I have no symptoms, I didn't have any symptoms left, but I still tested positive because it's still lingering.
Yeah, that's
body.
So true.
That's why. And then in Taiwan back then, it was very strict. You need to have 3 consecutive negative tests in order to get dismissed from the hospital. It was very funny. Like, first round, I did the first negative. I was very excited. I said, okay, this is it. Just after 2 weeks, mom.
Yeah.
And then the second test came back positive.
Oh, so my gosh.
Go back. Back to square one, I had to wait one more week to get another round of tests. So I went for like 3-4 rounds until I get dismissed. So yeah, I think the longer period was really long and really difficult. I think that's more a challenging part for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And were you able to explain to people that during that time they're like, oh, COVID is just politics, you know, the COVID is not real. Like, how did you explain that? Like, after you got out of the hospital. Like,
I think, yeah, I think during, I was, since I was first got in the hospital, because I think the news spreads fast, because a lot of people recognize me from the work I do and also from the social life in Taiwan. So it went on the news, right?
He's famous in Taiwan, by the way. The social, yeah.
I think they kept, because I was so early, the cases, they magnify the cases. They actually tell people, oh, this person went to travel this place and then came back from where, and then people kind of just, figure out who you are. On the news, and then so in the beginning, I got a lot of people threatening me, like a lot of like people reach out or have very negative comments on me, and many personal attacks as well, like on my identity, like my job, like oh, you're because you travel around the world, now you stay, you come back with the virus, and you just abuse the system, and you know, all the things like that. I was really negative, also with my family. So I decided to kind of just share my story every day during the process in the hospital to show like actually like how I fight myself and how to recover. I know I have really lucky to have a mild case, so I knew that I wasn't going back, but you know, it's still difficult.
Can you describe to me, how do you describe like the experience that happened to you, like being on TV and then saying that you are the first one that had it, and then, you know, how was that? Like, did it make you feel like, oh my gosh, like you want to hide in your house and not do anything?
I think because of my job is a lot based on social media.
Yeah.
Connecting with my audience. Mm-hmm. I think back then there was a lot of people start getting it too. So they're very open about it. They share and then they obviously repeat a protocol. I worked also with the New York City government and CDC back then to really spread the words of how to prevent it from getting it. I think Taiwan was very, in the beginning, people were very scared and also a little bit ignorant, like, because they didn't know about the virus. So, it was very tricky that I decided to put it in public and put myself out there to share the positive vibe. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people didn't accept it in the beginning. So that was kind of like a struggle in the beginning. And then my family was like, are you sure you want to be really talking about this? Because, you know,
and be out there.
People, they want to be more shy and more. And I feel like it's very important, like, because people have a lot of missing information.
Yes, yes.
I'm with the medical team firsthand. I have people, I'm on the phone with doctors in Europe and you know, in the States. So it was very lucky for me to have the ability to do that. So I decided to die and then I just shut down all those people.
That's so great.
I shut down all those really nasty comments and contact my lawyers. If you get those letters, you know.
So you went through that? Oh my gosh.
I think in Taiwan, there's a certain way you can find those people that believe as well, cooperate with those platforms. So,
really?
So, you know, there's no point to send out. The world's so much going on, and we're also the victim, right?
Yeah.
Like, we support. I also received a lot of support, and that's why I decided, you know what? There's always two sides. You know, it's just like the haters. They do their thing, but you focus on being yourself. So that's why I, you know, decided to do that and then go through it and have people watch me go through this journey. It's quite special.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy.
And then I don't want people to mislead people that, oh, I'm trying to use COVID to
gain popularity. Yes, I know.
That's just definitely not. This is, I'm just doing my part.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to make the place. And after 30 days, I was also, my business was affected greatly. Almost my job was canceled for it.
And by coming out and sharing it, you don't know what the effect of it. You don't know if it's going to help your business or not, or you don't know if it's going to help you or not.
Exactly. Many people told me not to do it because it might affect the branding.
Yeah.
Negative effect. But I said, listen, I don't want to over-exaggerate what happened. I'm just sharing what I feel, especially in the hospital and what treatment I'm going through. And also, I help a lot of my friends because I was lucky enough to get diagnosed and get treated. A lot of my friends, they stuck at home. They couldn't find a doctor. They couldn't, you know, in Europe, in the state. So they asked me tons of questions. For some information, you know, and I was connected with the news and my friends. Mm-hmm.
what? Okay, I was just going to ask you, what is something that
just came to to my mind.
Yeah, what are the fun things and like the, you know, the things that you'll never forget, you know, your biggest concern in the hospital when you were there?
Well, yeah, I mean, talking about the concern first, like,
yeah,
the fun things.
Yeah, after, okay.
I think the concern was obviously you don't, because there's no cure yet, so you don't know what's drugs that you have,
yeah,
side effect. I obviously have been through a couple that I mentioned. And then I lost a sense of smell, uh-huh, and taste. And that was really affecting me and really put a mental stress on me because you didn't know when it's coming back, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't come back right after you recover from COVID.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it was the case. It took me so long, uh-huh, to get it back. And my jobs rely on tasting food and all the,
yeah,
things. Also, that's part of my work. And that was something I was really scared. And then, yeah. But then in the meantime, on the positive
note. Yeah, on the positive note, what was it?
Riding away for using Zoom, right?
Yeah.
Everyone was Zoom meeting and,
yeah,
stuff. So since we were all separated from the world and from friends and family, so I make plans with all my friends around, like once a week, we do a Zoom party.
Mm.
So obviously, they can have alcohol, they can have anything they want.
Yeah.
They can have the hospital food and drink green juice with me. But it's so comforting because that is the best part of happened to me, because we know that we are going through this together,
mm-hmm,
and some people recover from very significant illness,
yeah,
worse than me. And some of my friends with intensive care and ventilator, seeing them recover and seeing me doing better together, it's kind of, you're building a core community,
yeah,
group. And that's something really rewarding. And that's how a part of me is my family, my friend that support that, you know, help me getting out.
You are actually very blessed, but you know, you actually, even you, that, you mean the hundreds that got it, and yet you're still, you know, you're good, nothing really serious, because I believe that during the first time, you know, the first,
yeah,
few ones, those are the scariest one, right?
Yeah.
Those are like the really, the ones that, oh my gosh, like.
Yeah, I mean, because I was right next to all the patients.
Yeah, and you were there with them.
So,
oh my gosh.
There's a guy next to me who was in the hospital, in the room for 60 days without any symptoms. Imagine how stressful that could be.
60 days.
Yeah, and of course, there are some people that unfortunately didn't make it,
uh-huh,
on my floor too. So uh-huh, you heard that story from the nurse,
yeah,
and the doctor. So it was kind of stressful. So, you know, like, something important, like, I try to just, you know, obviously it's easier to say that mentally,
yeah,
right? But you really try to have the best judgment for yourself and just monitor yourself and do things that you thought I'd been doing.
I
was great. I saw audio book, I saw one after another.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't go to the gym, so a lot of my class went online. So I was watching Tracy Anderson,
yeah,
Aloe Yoga, all the things I'm doing. And my doctor was on speaker, like, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just having
a good time.
And I was also,
oh my God,
updating my, I was doing a little photo shoot, and,
yeah,
kind of just say hi to people, updating how I feel every, yeah, day.
Oh, wait, by the way, did you document everything that happened to you?
I documented. I shared, I didn't share all the stuff on my social media because I don't, uh-huh, want people being overloaded with it.
Yeah.
I just share on my Facebook with people I know. So I think I can trust them.
Yeah.
They care about me. And then I release it little by little afterwards.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, so it's really, it's very interesting. And
how did you from there, Taiwan, I'm ready to get out there and now I'm going to be traveling,
yeah,
again. Weren't you, what is that word? I don't want to say insecure, but weren't you worried that, you know, how would people perceive you and perceive you as, you know, one of the ones that had, you know,
yeah,
COVID first and stuff? Like, weren't you scared that?
I mean, even though after I was completely recovered and, uh-huh, and then came out from the hospital, I didn't see my friend immediately. You would think that, okay.
Was it your decision not to do it, or?
I think it was mutual. You can tell kind of from some of the friends, they're still kind of concerned because it was COVID-free in Taiwan.
Yeah.
So it was very lucky. Everything's open. Everyone's healthy.
Okay.
But obviously, I was one of the few that got COVID. So,
yeah,
people kind of like, oh,
that's
maybe
so
we should wait a little bit.
Yeah.
So I just went straight to the countryside, stayed for a few weeks with my family. Didn't see any other people either. Don't have a, because people were still concerned. That's for sure. But after a while, people were like, okay, yeah,
yeah,
it went away. So it was kind of that rebuild that confidence to go back into society. That was something that was strong to do. And after a year and a half was in Taiwan, my job was, I was flying 200 days a year. And it went from 200 days to none.
To none.
Yeah, obviously I traveled in Taiwan, it was great, everything was open there. But then I have so many projects, I was on hold, you know, I had to resume that. So, and last year, you know, last summer, I came back to the States and handled everything and just restarting again. It just feels really good to feel connected to the world and
again,
see people.
Right, I know.
Like, I had the luggage that I left in Paris when I was there. I thought I was going to pick it up after a few weeks. It took me a year and a half to pick it up. My first thing is almost like become an antique there, you know?
But somehow, did you ever think that, I think I needed that one whole year. It was good. Was it good to spend time with your family? Yeah. You were able to decompress, right? I mean, able to...
Your mom, and you know,
oh,
my
yeah.
family.
I would be so happy.
Yeah, exactly. My mom was probably the happiest during COVID because she got to see me. Because I moved to New York mm-hmm. since 2009, and then... You know, I don't see my family very often, especially I travel so much.
Yeah.
So that was the pros that actually happened to me.
That's so nice.
And actually, you know, I never really slowed down that much and think about myself. Mm-hmm. That 33 days in hospital was kind of like a blessing for me.
Yeah.
Because I really learned how to deal with myself. Because I always surrounded by people. My job is working with the team. Always go to the event, mm-hmm. surrounded with my friends. Mm-hmm. I go to the good restaurants and event. So it was nice to really think of, oh, what am I really doing? Who I am? What's my own voice? And especially my own voice was really helping people to understand the whole scenario mm-hmm. of the pandemic. And then connect with the family and friends at home that I haven't done for a while. So that whole year and a half, I you know, a lot of people, they say, oh, the pandemic put the life on hold, mm-hmm. on hold or on the pause. Mm-hmm. For me, it was actually a good pause. And actually, I kind of just
like
refigure
that.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Refigure a lot of things for myself. So
I like that. I want to ask you this. Oh, my God. It's so, like, we have, like, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. It's so fast, right?
Oh, my God.
Okay. What advice do you have for someone who may be trying to help people in their, you know, in their... lives uplifted as they help them work through their struggles?
Yeah, I mean, we all love, I mean, I'm a person, I'm always giving, right? Mm-hmm. It's important to help people, but we can't change people. It's mm-hmm. not anyone's obligation to change other people's lives.
Yeah.
However, I'm not in the care.
Yeah.
My friends, my family, I'm always there. So I think that's something really important, that when they need a guidance or a second opinions. Mm-hmm. It's important that you go there to support them and to help them realize who they are and where they are. It's very important, and because sometimes they don't see themselves that way. Mm-hmm. And then to help them be a strong person for themselves, not for others. Because it took me such a long time. It has taken me years to find my own voice, my own confidence, to be who I am. And, you know, like Jessica was introducing.
Yeah.
I was born very differently. My identity is very
And
different.
I was going to say, who are you, Andrew?
I would say I don't like any labels. I would call myself non-binary. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important. I'm just being who I am. I would love people just call me Andrew. No pronouns or anything.
Yeah.
Because I think people know me, they know. You know, I'm just, you know, very happy to be who I am. So I think to support other people during the pandemic and, mm-hmm. like you said, try to uplift other people. Yeah.
I love that. So what is your takeaway from your experience? And before we end this, what are the three things that, you know, our viewers can take away?
Yeah, I mean, what we can take, well, first of all, I think for me, the best is the clarity of being yourself, for
like
your
that.
Own voice. You mm-hmm. really have to really... evaluate the weight of your voice, mm-hmm. especially you need to listen to yourself first. So I think that's that's something very important that go into the mental health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the good mental health become like it's a foundation of everything, that you can understand yourself better
mm-hmm.
and you can always understand how people see yourself and how you can be a better version of yourself. You know, I've been through a lot of things in my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, but We're still here, and then we're out of pandemic. We see the world have so much stuff happening, you know, good and bad. But you know, I think mental health, that's something I realized that has been helping me going through so many phases in my life. So.
Have you been, just one last question, have you been in your darkest, what is the darkest time in your life, like, have you ever experienced?
I was very lucky. I don't remember those negative things.
I love that.
I try to leave that behind.
Yes.
I've been going through a lot. I've been through the financial crisis in New York, and I was finished school. I couldn't find any job. I was scrambling. I went on 60 interviews to get 3 job offers. Like all those.
And isn't it so hard, especially because I'm also not from here, so it's hard.
Yeah, you need
to begin to start. Yeah.
Visa on a job. Just say no to her. And also, I live in all different continents, so like all the different cultures and respect. But you learn how to open up yourself and to respect other people, and that also calms you down because there's just so many things, so many different unfortunate things out there too, but for you to realize, but also to realize how good you are and what position you are to help other people. And no matter if it's monetized or monetary help or support or just by giving them some advice and help, you know. So
yeah.
So that's something I think that really drives me a lot. It's really a strong mind and a heart. Yeah.
I love that, Andrew. Oh my gosh.
I'm even sharing this with you.
I know. It's so good. Oh my god, this is such a good episode. Oh, I mean, thank you so much. Hold on. Come to you for, you know, coming here. And I know you're always traveling around the world, but
I'm so glad we get to connect while I'm in New York. I'm in LA. Sorry. And then
maybe we're going to travel someday together.
Summer.
Yes, I know. And don't forget, my tip for it's so good. Remember that whatever challenge or struggle you may be currently faced with, that it doesn't need to be an experience that defines you for the worst. It is possible to find a way to work through what you may be dealing with, just like Andrew.
That's so
so strong. You're such a strong person, Andrew.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you so much. And don't forget, don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. That's so important.
Thank you
so much. Yes. Thank you.
You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.